And in Genesis chapter 28, and the expression at the end of verse 17, the exclamation of Jacob, "This is the gate of heaven." This is the gate of heaven. The gate, of course, is the entrance. But what is the gate of heaven? The pillar? The place? Well, to an extent. But the gate of heaven here is the ladder. And the ladder is the Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes call our churches Bethel. But it isn't the building. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus who says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And that is the gate of heaven. The presence of the Saviour. Our ladder. Our gate to heaven. I want to begin the story with you today in Genesis 22 and in verse 18. That in fact is a repetition of what God had earlier said to Abraham. But in Genesis 22, and we'll actually start from verse 15, we read that the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because that thou hast done this thing, that is, prepared to sacrifice thy son Isaac, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." And now he says what he'd said to Abraham before. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." It was the Lord God, Jehovah, I am that I am, his initiative to take hold of Abraham and to promise him that his children, and particularly the Saviour, the one child, the seed who should afterwards come. The New Testament tells us that the seed is singular, and while it has regard to children, it's a collective noun. While it has regard to children after the flesh and children after the spirit, it has regard in particular to one, the seed with a capital S, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." But before that he said it unconditionally. It was repeated because he'd obeyed the voice, he'd tested Abraham, but he'd said it. And so it was that Abraham was the chosen of God, the one whom God himself selected, who put it into his mind to call from Ur of the Chaldees and to prepare, to trust him and believe in him. And it was especially that he, from his seed, there might spring a seed of those who believe through the Lord Jesus and are saved. Now, this does not follow naturally from generation to generation. And we find that in Genesis 26, verse 4, the Lord appears unto Isaac. Now, the Lord did not appear unto Isaac early on in his life. The Lord appeared unto Isaac at a set time. But at the chosen time, he said to Isaac, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto all thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And so here we have it that Isaac himself now became personally the next one in the chosen line. And of course, as you know, Isaac begat Esau and begat Jacob. And so they lived for many years. And it wasn't until the events of chapter 28 that now we see that Jacob himself enters into that covenant blessing by the calling and choice of the Lord. It was his initiative. Jacob, we read in 28 verse 10, went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And though he went out with his father's blessing and certainly with his mother's, it was not with Esau's blessing. And there had been a fair amount of chicanery going on. But his sinful state did not alter the purposes of eternal God, who takes care of the sin of those who are his elect. And so we read that Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. I just picked up a very interesting comment, that the general journey to Haran is estimated as from Beersheba to be about 480 miles. And the distance from Beersheba to Bethel is reckoned to be near enough 48 miles. So there you have a 48 mile journey the first days, and if he did that every day, it would take him 10 days to get to Haran. But there's a proportionality about it. But anyway, at the end of that day, he came in the evening, separate for the first time from his brother, from his mother and father, and the family home. And it was then that whatever the Lord's eternal purposes of election had been towards Jacob, that it was there that night at Beersheba that God personally revealed to him that he was personally the next one to take up that family line. So that while he may have been elect, chosen of God, as a hymn said that we sung earlier, you may be chosen, but we don't know about our election until we're called. And it's not proper to think of being elect until we've known our calling, that the Lord has called us in the Lord Jesus. And this is exactly what is happening this evening there to Jacob. He lay down to sleep under the open sky. What he may have thought about being away from home, what he may have thought about being chased possibly by Esau, what he may have thought of the relationship he had with his father, with his brother, and with his mother, we are not told. But we are told of a new relationship that is formed for the first time. A personal relationship. Probably, almost certainly, he would have joined in the family worship over the years. But now, for the first time, the Lord introduces himself personally to this man. For the first time, he knows a personal Saviour. And as always, we only know a personal Saviour in the knowledge of sins forgiven so we see in the unfolding of this event, this dream, that these things happen to him at that point. The way the Lord deals with individuals is very wonderful. The way he dealt with Isaiah in Isaiah 6 is wonderful. He had this vision of the Lord, you remember. He says, "Woe is me, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips." God was intending to use him to speak. But in the vision, he saw something that actually really happened. That the angel went to the altar and with tongs took the fire from the altar and pressed it against his lips. Not that he felt anything. It wasn't literal. But he says, "This has purged me. My sins are taken away." Now, sins are only taken away through the Lord Jesus Christ. All that ever happened in the Old Testament were credited to the effectual saving grace on Calvary of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it happened, were held, so to speak, in trust against that day. And indeed, all the people who were forgiven by the Lord Jesus before the day that he was sacrificed on Calvary, these were in trust too against the day that he would actually do it. But granted that, Isaiah himself, in that strange way, new sins forgiven, new a purging, utterly an initiative of God, nothing he had sought. Indeed, he was deeply repentant and not expecting anything except perhaps to be browbeaten. And the experience here of Jacob is also unique, but not unique. Always there is the cleansing, there is the purging of sin, and always it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this then is what happened then to Jacob. The Lord stood above a ladder. He saw a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. But his eye was taken to the Lord in this vision at the summit of the ladder. And the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac." They had a personal faith. But so far, Jacob had not entered into it in the same living, personal, worshipful way. And had not had the declarations of sin forgiven made to him, nor the assurance that in his seed also was the promise to be fulfilled. He knew of it. He'd been schooled in it. He probably understood that in going to find a wife where he was going was in pursuance of that aim. But he had had no assurance from God personally that he'd entered into that which his father Abraham had entered into and into that which his father Jacob had entered into, Isaac had entered into. But now God appears. Now in this stupendous waking dream, so to speak. It was a dream, he wasn't awake. And yet it was real to him and it wasn't an ordinary dream. And the great reality was put across to him as it was to Isaiah in a dream. Because it was a dream, it wasn't any less real, it wasn't any less life-changing. And under the vision of this ladder, and with God at the top of it, God makes a declaration. But he's at the top of the ladder. First of all, then, I want you to understand how he entered into this covenant by the word of God and by God's initiative. The Father chose the time when he would be drawn to the Saviour and his sins forgiven. He chose the moment when he would enter into the faith which his fathers had held before him. And he gave him the same words and the same assurance. I am the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And he also said, behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. So the Lord speaks to him and assures him of the things that have been handed down, that now they are his personally. I am the God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Exactly what he knew had been said to Abraham by the same God. Exactly what he knew had been said to Isaac by the same God. And now it was being said to him. What a liberation, what a freedom, what a release from all the things that had been going wrong in his life. What a release from the level of the standard of which he'd been living now. To be lifted up and exalted into this spiritual realm that he knew his father and grandfather had entered into. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and the east and the south of the north. And in thy seed, as he said to Abraham and Isaac, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now this is a tremendous promise. Of course he was familiar with it, and I won't go into it. But in thy seed, in the Lord Jesus that's going to be born, all the families, all those who are saved, all the elect shall be blessed, and of course carnal blessings too, to the physical nation of Israel. And in addition to that, personally, especially as he was leaving home, and God knew, but he didn't, that he was going to be away 20 odd years, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And of course he wouldn't leave him then either. But it's just another way of saying, I will not leave thee. So Jacob awakes out of his sleep. And he's gone through a life-changing experience. He knows he has been adopted, so to speak. By nature, he is the descendant of Isaac and of Abraham. But now, not all those who are of the flesh are necessarily the children of promise. But he knows he has been afforded and adopted into to be a child of the promise of God. He awakes up and he knows that this is an enormous, enormous sea change that has happened to him. He's entered into the fullness of a relationship with the living God, as has his father and his grandfather. And as he awakes out of sleep, he says, surely the Lord is in this place. But I didn't know. To me, it was just like any other place. Even as this building might be like any other building. But he says, the Lord has been with me here. The Lord has dealt with me here. And this place has become for me the gates of heaven. This has become the entrance to heaven. I had no title to heaven. I had no reasonable expectation of heaven until this moment. And as the Lord himself personally has drawn me to himself, I have met the gate of heaven. I've come to the place and I've come to the time where I have taken my first step, so to speak, along the heavenly pathway. But what is the gate of heaven? The gate, of course, is the ladder. And the ladder signifies the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man, the one who bridges the unbridgeable gulf between earth and heaven. The angels of God are seen ascending and descending on it. Any messages from God to man, and by prayer from man to God, must come via the Lord Jesus Christ. They must travel via him. All access to God from below has to come via that ladder. This is a ladder with rungs. It may be taken, if you like, a step at a time. But the Lord Jesus Christ is that way, that bridging of heaven and earth. Now, not everything is explained here in that particular part, but he would have understood or came to understand, like all those before him, exactly what is involved in this whole way. He would have understood from the worship that had been passed on from the time of Abel and of Seth, that the only way to the forgiveness of sins is through the sacrifice of an innocent victim, and that that innocent victim stood for the Messiah, in fact going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, though they wouldn't have known by name, who was going to come. And therefore, this ladder signifying the means of reconciliation, the means of joining, the means of access between heaven and earth, must of necessity include in itself the means by which that Saviour was appointed to grant salvation to every person who was brought in by that method. So the Lord has appointed him to salvation in Jesus Christ, even as he always appoints his people. And although it isn't in that way stated here, though of course Isaac would have well known about God providing a lamb for sacrifice himself, and he would have heard that story, he would have known that sins are only forgiven through a Lamb of God, a lamb being provided from heaven, God providing himself, a lamb who would shed his blood and make a sacrifice for the sins of his people. So this ladder makes it clear that there is a way, makes it clear that there is access, that this access is by faith, that this access is through the person of the Messiah, whom we know to be Jesus Christ the Lord, and it's by the forgiveness of sin, by the purging away of sin through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other access to God other than through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these were things that he acknowledged. By setting up the altar and pouring oil upon it, he thereby signified that this Messiah, under the experience that he'd had as the gate of heaven, the ladder, that this was the place where he met with that Lord, that he would subsequently, the oil signified, worship him, and that he would look to the Lord for guidance for the future. That then is how it was with Jacob. But we turn now to the New Testament, to John chapter 1, thinking still of the gate of heaven. It is possible that Nathanael was meditating on Genesis 28. We don't know that, of course. We're not told. And it would make perfect sense if he was, but the passage does make sense if he wasn't. But it is possible that part of the exchange between the Lord Jesus and Nathanael, the understanding unspoken, was because he'd been reading that passage. It may not have been that. But Jesus went to go into Galilee and finds Philip and says unto him, "Follow me." Now, bearing in mind that no one unless the Lord calls him, follows him, maybe something like this happened. Philip findeth Nathanael. I wonder how. Now again, we can't be certain. But you could read the story to say, as they were going along, Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree and said to Philip, go and get him. That would make perfect sense. Anyway, Philip findeth Nathanael and says to him, we have found him of whom Moses in that law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So he speaks to him of the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the prophets, the fulfillment of Moses and the prophets. Nathanael, who was well familiar with all those things, said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Not at all sure that someone who comes from Nazareth could fulfill these things. Very wonderfully, Philip says to him, come and see. Maybe knowing that the Lord Jesus has said to him, bring him. Now, Jesus sees Nathanael coming and says of him, that is to say, he might have said it just to the disciples, but just about in the hearing of Nathanael, so that they all look to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Two things. An Israelite indeed signifies one who is not just an Israelite according to the flesh, but one who is an Israelite according to the Spirit. And secondly, one who in his spirit is set apart for holiness and righteousness. Nathanael, not necessarily accepting the compliment, simply says to Jesus, how do you know who I am? How do you know about me? And Jesus answered, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. So maybe he did ask Philip to go and get him, you see. I saw thee. But with those words was an indication, perhaps, that he knew what he was praying about, or knew what he was reading, or knew of his devotions, or knew that he was lost in wonder, love, and praise, and was not a bit aware of those things that were passing by. But whatever it was that the Lord conveyed to him enabled Nathanael to make a wonderful confession. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. The conversation goes on, and there may be nuances that we shall never understand of how it was, what went on between the heart of Jesus knitting himself to the heart of Nathanael and Nathanael's heart being knit to the Lord Jesus. Because I saw thee under the fig tree, do you believe? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And then, of course, he refers to Genesis 28, doesn't he? Verily, verily, this is most important, he says, take heed, listen carefully. I say unto you, hereafter, ye, that's you, and all these disciples here, shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Heaven's open, there's a ladder, the angels are ascending and descending, same order as in Genesis 28, as they were in Genesis 28, but not on a ladder, on the Son of Man. That is to say, Jesus is saying to Nathanael, I fulfill everything that that ladder signifies in the Old Testament. I always did fulfill it. But now, you shall see it for yourself. And clearly, the first implication for Nathanael is that there is no approach to the Father except by this ladder, except by the gate of heaven, except by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ladder. His offering alone makes it possible for fallen man to enter into the presence of a holy Father. And this now is your real experience. This is what you are coming to understand. And this is why it is that the Jewish faith that you considered before was not enough for you to be sure you were saved. But now you will know it. And you come via the Son of Man. You come via me to a perfect man. The fullness of the stature of Christ. And hereafter, ye shall see heaven open. You will see evidences. You will see men and you will see people saved. You may even see the angels of God. You may see them at the time when, at the risen tomb. There may be other times when you see these messages. But you will see the works of God. You will see people healed. You will see darkness dissipated. You will see all these things. And you will see all the work of the angels of God who are the servants of the heirs of salvation. You will see it all fulfilled in me. You will see them sent by me and under my direction. And you will see them acting upon me and through me. And you shall see wonderful works. And of course, as Nathaniel walked with the Lord Jesus, he saw all the healings and all the miracles and heard the teachings and saw the, the suffering in Gethsemane and knew of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, even if he fled from it, and knew of the resurrection. But whether it's Nathaniel, whether it's Jacob, the gate of heaven is always the Lord Jesus. The gate of heaven is not a place like this, nor is the gate of heaven where Nathaniel was, nor where Jacob was. It's where the Saviour is, and most particularly where we first enter into those privileges. But what we first enter into, as long as we're here on this earth, we may continue to enter into. We may continue to be served by the angels of God and by the Spirit of the Lord himself. But the only access, the only climbing, but we don't climb, the only access to the Father is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his death and by his resurrection. And he is the only mediator between the Father and mankind. The one mediator, the ladder that joins heaven and earth. May we ourselves enter at the gate of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.